Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are live right now on the air and online. Glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC, where the lines are wide open, and we await your calls. Again, 844-32-BASIC. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news of the gospel. We experience this new life through the new covenant that Jesus ratified through his shed blood on the cross. It's one of the most exciting, life-changing truths that we can embrace. So many folks struggle in their Christian experience. They try to live up to rules and regulations in hopes to gain God's love and acceptance, or in hopes to gain the acceptance of others. But they fail miserably. I know that was my life. And it's when I understood this new life that I had in Christ and that it was to be lived in this new covenant that everything started to change for me. And I think it's very appropriate for us to begin this new year talking about the new covenant. So let's ask some questions today and look to the Word of God to get some real solid answers for us. The first, when we talk about the old covenant, we're talking about the Mosaic covenant, that covenant that God implemented or instituted with between himself and the nation of Israel. Yes. Moses was the mediator, so to speak. It was given to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai after they had crossed through the Red Sea and escaped their bondage, their enslavement to the Egyptians. So God had already shown favor to the people of Israel, had done a miraculous thing, and then after that gave the law, gave the Ten Commandments and the 613 other laws that were to be kind of their constitution, the thing that they operated by, their rule of life, so to speak. Well, that law had a time factor built into it. There was a duration from that point, from Mount Sinai, until the time of Christ. And then at the time of Christ, something changed. And specifically, at the cross, something changed. The new old covenant was fulfilled. The new covenant was implemented, was ushered in through the shed blood of Jesus. So when did the new covenant go into effect? The day Jesus breathed his last breath. If you want some scriptural support for that, Hebrews 9 is the place to go. Hebrews 9:16, the writer of Hebrews stated this, in the case of a will, we all know what a will is, don't we? I have one, you have one, Bob, you have one, Richard. It's a legal document that basically states what's going to happen with your assets upon your death. So you have it in place now, but it isn't in effect. Why? Because you guys are still living. I'm still living. It'll go into effect the day we die. That was the case for the will of God. So in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. Well, who made this new covenant? God did. It's his desires for you and me. It's what he wants for our lives. It's what he wants for our day-to-day experience. It's what he wants for our eternal destiny. This new covenant is God's will for us. Well, when did that new covenant go into effect? When was it made applicable for you and for me? Well, the day that Jesus died. God and Jesus made this will. And it went into effect that Jesus, the day that Jesus died. So what is the cross? It is the place of change. It's the place where everything changed. That we are able to be set free from the law of sin and death and experience new life in Christ. Yeah. That's an important thing for you as a believer to know, that the cross is where this new covenant went into effect. The old was fulfilled in its entirety. He didn't leave some of it to be fulfilled later. He handled it all as far as that old covenant is concerned. So it's come to an end, and now there's this new covenant. And because of that, you're a new covenant believer, and you can experience all the wonderful promises that God has for you within the framework of this new covenant.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to Basic Gospel again, everybody. Open lines. We'd love for you to come in and be a part of the broadcast at 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742. Open lines right now. The time remaining on the clock, well, it's all there. So take advantage of it. That's why we're on the air live, so you can be a part of the program, so you can get an immediate answer for your particular situation. Guys, in the meantime, a question from Joe by email says, I believe in justification by faith, meaning that as a believer, I cannot lose my salvation. Still, it sounds like Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 that he can be disqualified from salvation if he does not run a good race. In other words, a life based on good works. So how can I best answer these verses in reference to the question that I don't run the race to maintain my salvation?
Well, this is a question that we've addressed a couple of times on the program, this particular passage. And when you read what Paul is actually saying in that chapter in 1 Corinthians 9, he's talking about his ministry. And the letter, both letters to the Corinthians, that's really the subject. He's defending his apostleship and the fact that God has sent him to be a minister of the new covenant, to be a minister of reconciliation. He does so without charging for that. He wants to just be able to deliver the word of God free of charge to anyone that would hear. That's why he built tents. That's why he supported himself through other means. Occasionally, he would ask folks to give to him, to help him on a journey. But he wanted to deliver the gospel free of charge. That was his reward. And so he wanted to run that race of testifying to the grace of God under that pretense. He also wanted to become all things to all people in hopes of winning some. To the Jew, he became like a Jew. To the Gentile, he became like a Gentile. Why? So that he could connect with them, that he could find points of agreement and be able to talk to them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when he says he wants to run so that he's not disqualified, that's not about salvation. He's not saying that if I run the race in the wrong way, I'm going to lose my salvation. He's saying that he might be disqualified from his ministry. And yeah, that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. That is a huge difference. So that passage in 1 Corinthians 9 has nothing to do with loss of salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. As a matter of fact, Paul addresses that on numerous occasions throughout the two letters that appear in the Bible to the Corinthians. That's a big subject for him. He makes statements like, such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of the Lord. You are a saint by calling. These are themes that run through that. So he is giving assurance of salvation to those, but he wants to run the race of ministry in such a way that he does not get disqualified from the prize, the reward of being able to share the gospel free of charge.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from our listeners who post questions by email and by phone, of course. And the number is 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742. And lines available right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk with Faye listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Faye.
Hi, I'm Bob Christopher.
Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm great. First, I want to say I really, truly love you guys.
Well, thank you.
I listen to you every day. This is the first time I'm actually calling in.
Well, we're glad you did.
Yeah, and thank you.
Because you're a first-time caller, we're going to put you on hold after the question and send you a nice gift just to say thank you.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Well, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Well, I have a difference of opinion. Well, not opinion, of interpretation of Scripture. So whereas you consider it a dying will, or a will, as you explained it, My interpretation right away, based on what you were explaining, was I don't see it as a kind of a will. I see it as a living will, because not only did Christ go to the grave, but he rose from the dead, which is the difference between us having eternal life and not having one. And I just want to know what you think about that.
Well, Faye, I agree. I mean, this new covenant is a covenant of life. I mean, that's what we receive because Christ died to take away our sins and was raised back to
the living will. I see it as a living will because he lives.
Christ, well, he lives, but he died. You know, the gospel message, Faye, is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And notice the first chapter of that gospel story. It starts with death. It starts with the death of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished through his death. I mean, being victorious over sin, dying, and then being raised back to life, showing his victory over death. That's what enables mm-hmm. us to live. So the lead in the good news story is death, but death gives way to burial. Burial gives way to resurrection. Resurrection means life. So Jesus had to die first for this will to go into effect. Once it went into effect, now life is made available to each and every one of us. But so, Faye, because Jesus died, shed his blood for you to take away your sins, you're able to live today in
you
victory.
Know, Pastor, you know, mm-hmm. I was thinking about Lazarus' story. It also comes to mind because it was a reason that Christ was delayed, Jesus was delayed in order to fulfill the scriptures. When those sisters complained that if he were here, Lazarus would not have died. And God raised him from the dead. I know he died afterwards, but I'm just, my emphasis is on the fact that he lives. And I just want you to know that I listen to you guys practically every evening. And for the most part, I really do enjoy the program. I am Seventh-day Church of God. So I'm coming from a totally different perspective. At the same time, I'm very open-minded, and I just really, truly love mankind. So I just want you to know where I'm coming from with this.
Well, thank you, Faye. We sure appreciate it. And, you know, I like your emphasis on life, and that's why we talk about the new covenant, because it is a covenant of life. The old covenant was a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of judgment, a ministry of death. But that gives way to Christ, and in Christ we have new life. But we couldn't have new life until Jesus died, and that's the whole point.
And yet I'm saying we wouldn't have redemption unless he lived. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, that's the whole story. That's that's why the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just the death of Jesus; it's the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the whole Christ.
Not just that he lives, but that he died. Not that just he died, but that he also lives. I understand exactly what you mean.
Well, let me put you on hold, Faye, and we'll send you a gift. It's going to be a copy of a book called Love Is, and would love to put that into your hands. You hang on, Faye, okay?
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Love Is and other materials are available for your edification at store.basicgospel.net. We encourage you to visit that site and look around, and you'll find many, many resources to aid you toward spiritual growth and maturity. That's, again, store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Newport, New Jersey, and talk with Gary, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing fantastic. How about you today?
I'm well, thank you. I really enjoy your show. One thing that I understood that the Bible teaches that people were never saved by works. Even in the Old Testament, it was always repentance and faith. And God, in his forbearance, put those sins on Jesus in future. Is that not true?
That's exactly true. That's why the writer of Hebrews, for example, in chapter 11 of his great letter, lists all of the Old Testament saints. And to each one, he says God commended them for their faith. So it was never for, you know, they worked and they earned their way into his good favor. It was by faith that they were credited righteousness.
Yes, but a lot of times when we talk about the Old Covenant, if we're not careful, we can actually try to explain in light day how to keep the law to be saved. And that was never the case, correct?
That was never the case. And I think we will see that if we pay close attention in reading the Old Testament, just with some of the miraculous events. So here the Israelites had been in Egypt for 430 years as slaves. They were treated horribly as slaves, and God rescued them. And it was by His grace, by His mercy. It was His work. He parted the sea. They walked through. That was all God's doing. It was always set up by faith, by grace through faith. There's never been another plan as far as salvation is concerned.
That's right. So when Jesus died and rose, nothing changed ever about how we were saved.
No. What did change is the benefits of that. So today, for example, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God.
Okay.
The saints of old were not indwelt by the Spirit of God. So that's a radical change.
That's the big change, huh?
We experience an internal transformation through the indwelling presence of God's Spirit. And we have something that happens with our hearts. There's a great verse in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, and Moses is repeating the law to the people right before they're going to go into the promised land. And one of the things he says is that there's going to be a point in the future where God circumcises your hearts so that you can love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love others. That didn't occur under the Old Covenant. That was a new covenant. That's a new covenant reality. That's why Paul in Colossians writes that when we were dead in the uncircumcision of our hearts, God made us alive. He circumcised our hearts. He gave us a new heart and then sent His Spirit to live inside of us. So we received the promise of the Spirit, and they didn't until after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
So what really changes is now Jesus actually lives His life out in us.
That's correct. Big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you wonder how they did it back then, but it was still the grace of God that allowed them to live by faith, right?
That's exactly right, Gary.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Love your teaching, love your show. God bless you guys.
Hey, thanks, Gary. We sure appreciate it. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to England and talk with our good friend, Saab. Hi, Saab.
Hello. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
We're doing fine. How are you? So nice to hear from you, as always.
Fine. Yeah, nice to hear. Listen to your program anyway. Bob, today I got a question about, I know God character is love. Love is God. I need to get understanding about in the Old Testament, in Jonah 3:10. God is turned His mercy. I mean, before He trying to do some, could you go through 3:10, Jonah, for me?
Okay. What specifically is your question there?
God is angry with people, and God want to. So, is that God character is angry?
Well, there's evil, and we have to understand the nature of evil. It's interesting, Saab. Today, you will hear people. They'll do these incredible things, and then when they get caught, or when somebody calls them to account for that, they will say, I just made a mistake. Well, no, sin isn't a mistake. Sin is sin, and there's horrible consequences, and it comes from horrible sources. You know, we can't sugarcoat what evil is and what sin is. And back in the Old Testament, we see some evil unbridled.
Yes.
It wasn't just sugarcoated. It wasn't just labeled as a mistake. And we see God's true heart against sin. Why it brought ultimately death. I mean, it's why we die as human beings. It's sin. Sin is the cause of that. And so throughout the Old Testament, we see some pretty severe statements by God toward sin, his hatred of sin and his protection of his loved ones against sin. And sometimes that took the form of punishment for various people. And I know as we read through the Old Testament, there's a lot of passages that we read that we just step back and scratch our heads and think, gosh, I don't get all this. I don't get why God was doing all the things that he did. And so I have to just step back and say, but God knows what he was doing. There was a people that he was protecting, the bloodline of Jesus, so that Jesus could come into the world and to be a blessing to everyone that would turn to him by faith. So we have to look and say, hey, maybe I don't understand exactly how that is meant to be, but I know that God is love, and so I'm going to have to trust that somehow that this action on God's part was directed through his love for mankind and ultimately me. So that's how I've kind of reconciled those things.
Right. If anyone asks me, is a God character? Is one angry? Is one of God character? So what I need to say? Yes or no?
Well, God has said that sin is going to be punished. So that's what you're seeing there. That God is punishing sins in those Old Testament, making a statement about sin that we need to know. And when we realize that we're sinners, that we're lost, that, you know, our hearts before we came to Christ, you know, in those hearts, you know, we're sourced all of the sins that we do. We have to step back and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and grace, and thank you for being patient with me. I mean, God, throughout the Old Testament, we see his patience in just incredible display. And so we have to recognize that. I mean, if God, you know, just unleashed his anger toward us, none of us would stand. There would be no one on this planet. But thank goodness that he is patient. Love is patient, and he has demonstrated that patience with us. And I think this story of Nineveh and how when they repented, he did not punish them is a good example. Well, Saab, we appreciate your call today. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless. It's always good to hear from you.
Good luck. Yeah.
Bye-bye. We're going to quickly go to Childress and talk with Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Bob. How are you this morning?
Hey, doing fantastic.
Whatever it is.
How are you doing?
It's cloudy here. It's cloudy here. It seems like it's morning, but it's not. No, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are having a good new year. My question today is in regards to faith. I guess faith is the substance of the hope that it's talking about in faith. Is that substance of is that tied up in our identity in who we are in Christ? Is that what we, when we look at the hope that we talk about in faith?
Well, I think that's the start of it. I mean, John in his letter chapter 3 talks about the fact that we are children of God. And that does something to us. Well, Eric, we're out of time on today's broadcast. We just have about 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
Hang on, and we'll talk to you after the program.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.